This week's Torah Way has been sponsored L'Rufo Shleima Shel Ariel Yehuda Ben Yehudis Sheyizke L'Rufo Shleima Bekorov B'Soich Shari Choy Yisrael Amen. Chof Aleph Kislev, 21st of December, Rabbi Pinchas Hakenbroch, Mechiras Yosef, and the Shoes.
Morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here. As we already have heard, today's share in this week's learning is Mukdash L'Rufo Shleima for Ara Yehuda Ben Yehudis, Yishuha L'Rufo Shleima Bakarov Mamash. I'd like to discuss with you a fascinating topic, and hopefully we'll be able to unravel some of the mysteries behind the Mechiras Yosef, as well as understanding about the shoes. I'll explain as we go along. So the first point to make, and I have passed out some Makoros, Mari Makomas, to help us along, is that it can't be taken at face value. The whole complexity involved in the Mechiras Yosef could not possibly be understood on the surface, and therefore we're going to have a rather deep look and understand and appreciate it. If you have a look at the first couple of sources, you'll see, we're all familiar, Vayishtachu Yisrael Rosh HaMitah. At the end of Yaakov Avinu's life, we're told that all the Shvatim, the Shiftei Kar, gathered round. Rashi says, Al Shahayasam Misosasoi Shleima V'lahaya Ba Rosha. That, That Yaakov, at the end of his life, looking round at the Shiftei Kar, realized and understood that they were whole, that they were Shalim. And therefore, if that's the finishing point, then we understand and appreciate that the Mechiras Yosef did not dent the status of the Shiftei Kar, on which was built the foundations of the future of Klal Yisrael. It's a well-known Chazal, you're all familiar with it, I'm sure, but it is there on source 3, and that is that we're all familiar with the idea and the notion that the Haftarah that is read every Shabbos must connect in some shape or form with the Parsha that we are reading. If you have a look, Time of the Haftorah's Kosov Vesefer Tishvi, She Antiochus, in Yonah de Yoma, Antiochus Arosha Melech Yavon, Gaza al Yisrael, She Lo Yikru Batorah Barabim. That there was a Gezerah at the time of the Chashmonaim by the Yavonim, that there was Osa to learn Torah Barabim, and therefore they had to find a way in order that people should still learn Torah, that they shouldn't assimilate. What did they come up with? So Ma'asu Yisrael, Laku Parsha Achas Min Nevi'im. They took a Parsha from the Nevi'im. She Inyana Doime L'Inyan Masha Kosu B'Parsha Shel Shabbos Ahi. They took a Inyan from the Nevi'im that they could find some link to the Parsha. And therefore, the ata af shebot lahakzera minakazer eino bota. Even though nowadays, of course, it goes without saying, Baruch Hashem, we're able to learn Torah, there's no gezeras, there's no enactments against us, yet once it became a minak Yisrael, therefore it became the norm, and therefore we still do it today. But the point being was that the learning of the Haftarah at that particular moment in time, when it was ushered to learn the Torah Barabim, was in order, it was a mechanism in order to be able to act as a trigger to remember the theme of that week's parsha. So obviously we're going to have to find a connection between the two. Now if we have a look on source number 4, the Haftarah 4 by Yeshev, the Haftarah says, Koma Hashem al shlosha pishtei Yisrael al arba lo shivenu. So Hashem said, 3 chatoim Hashem was willing to pardon, va'al arba lo shivenu, but for the 4th, He said, I'm not willing to. Amikram ba'kesed tzadik ve'evyon ba'avot na'alayim. What does that mean? For they're selling a righteous man for money and a poor man for shoes. So Rashi says that this pasuk is referring to the judges, the shoftim, who were the dayanim, who would accept a sheichad, would accept a bribe, and therefore they would sell out the innocent people. Now, the problem that we have with that, that's what Rashi says, is how could we possibly link that to the Mechira of Yosef? There's got to be a correlation. If you were sitting at that time, how would you, when you're reading that, about a bribery and a sheichad by the Dayonim, how are you going to remember and trigger in your mind, oh, yeah, it's all to do with the Mechira, this week's parasha. So, therefore, we want to have a slightly deeper look. And we'll see one of the most perplexing aspects of the Mechira. The Targum Yonason, number 5, says as follows. V'zavinu yas Yosef l'arboin be'esrin me'en dekosev v'zavnu minahoin sandlin v'yasev yas Yosef l'mitraim. So what happened? They sold Yosef. How much did they sell Yosef for? 20 silver coins, right? Esrim kosev. They sold him to the Yishma'elim. But what did they do with that money? Each of them got 2 silver coins. What do we think that the brothers did? What would you do with the money? Said of a gemach, a chesed fund, maybe give it to tzedakah as a kapora. No. They went and bought themselves, each one of them, a pair of shoes. Sandalim. Mind-boggling. You ever heard anything so absurd? You just sold your brother, and now you're going to go and treat yourself to a new pair of shoes. Clearly, it needs a tremendous explanation. But at least we see that there is a link between the idea of the Haftarah and the Parsha. We don't understand why they sold him, why they bought shoes, but there is the idea that is alluded to of the actual sale being around Yosef in the Haftarah as well. And there's another question we need to understand. How much did they sell him for? We just said, 20 shekels, 20 silver coins. 20 silver coins, even in those days, was not considered a lot of money. We're talking about Yosef who was in his prime. Yosef who was considered a handsome young man. So how could it be, right, that they couldn't, simply speaking, that they weren't able to realize a better price for Yosef HaTzadik? There's a Medrash Tanchuma that says the reason why Yosef was only able to be realized for 20 silver coins was because something changed. When Yosef was thrown by Yashlichehu Labor, when they threw him into the pit, something changed in Yosef. What changed? His appearance. Apparently Yosef was in the bor, v'haborek ein b'mayim, aval yeshva nechoshev akrovim, because he was scared, frightened, his life was in danger, his appearance diminished, deteriorated, so that he didn't have the same radiance that he once had. He didn't have the same beauty that he once had, and therefore was only for 20 silver coins that they were able to sell Yosef for. But still we need to understand, now we understand the value, we need to understand why did they sell him for shoes? What's the significance? We know that the Shvatim considered Yosef a roideh, they considered him a usurper, somebody who was a talebearer, who was speaking badly about them, creating havoc in the family. But we want to try and understand more. So, the Magen Avraham, in his Perush on the Medrash Yalkut Shmoni, known as the Zayis Ranan, he addresses this very issue as to why it is that they sold him for shoes. He says, firstly, just before we come to this, one point we need to mention to appreciate the Zayis Ranan, and that is, there is an idea, and you'll see it on your sheets, which is that source 7, Shofreha de Yaakov Avinu, Me'ein the Shofreya de Adam Rishon, that the radiance, the appearance of Yaakov Avinu was similar, akin to that of Adam HaRishon. And what about Yosef? So we're all familiar with Yisrael Ahav as Yosef Mikol Vanav Ki Venzikunim Haloi. Rashi says, Shehaya Ziv Ikoinin Shaloi Daim Eloi. That Yaakov, that Yosef's appearance was similar to Yaakov. Therefore we can do a cheshbon. If the radiance, the appearance of Yosef HaTzadik was similar in some way to Yaakov, and Yaakov had Shofreya de Adam HaRishon, therefore, when you looked, or when the brothers looked at Yosef, who did they see? They saw, in some sense, they saw the radiance and the appearance of Adam HaRishon. So now we can understand and appreciate the Zayas from them. The Omrinun, Misha Engel Manalayim Baraklov, who Kumanudu L'Shamayim. There's many, many Makuras that discuss that somebody who doesn't wear shoes, it's a terrible thing. In fact, we see here that he's banished from Shemayim. He has no place in Shemayim. There's also the idea that for the one meant to sell, you're meant to sell the beams of your home for in order to be able to purchase a pair of shoes. But Zorik Lubosh was number six. Zorik Lubosh min alayim, one needs to buy shoes. Lahafsik, why? Beinoi uvein ha'adoma asher ora Hashem. The idea of shoes is to separate, to create a physical barrier between us and the Adama, which is considered cursed by Hashem. But Yosef HaYashuf Reha, the Adam, in Cain, Hu HaGoyrim Shinskana HaAdama, he was considered by his brothers, Yosef was considered by his brothers, as what? As the Goyrim, the cause for the curse of the Adama, being in the guise of Adam HaRishon, Shesor Lilbush Min Alayim, and therefore he needed to wear shoes. They needed to wear shoes. So they, by selling him and buying shoes, they wanted to indicate that the blame for the klola, the ora adoma, which they felt from Adam HaRishon, was from Yosef. Yosef looks like Adam HaRishon, and therefore the blame for all their troubles lay with him.
Yet the kernel is the base of Migdal.
Well, we'll come to that. Excellent. Excellent. We're going to come to it. That's the punchline. We'll come to that at the end. Excellent. Okay. So therefore, again, the brothers bought shoes for their feet because they wished to indicate the necessity to wear shoes to create a physical barrier between an Adam and the Adama. Okay? What was wrong? According to the Magen Avraham, the shoes was an error of judgment on their part because they, of course, judged Yosef falsely, being in the image of Adam HaRishon, and therefore they said that he's responsible for the chet and for the kolala. But we know that in reality, Yosef HaTzadik, far from being culpable and responsible for the chet, and there just because he had the radiance and appearance of Adam HaRishon, in fact, he was one of the people that was able to correct the chet. Therefore it seems that these events, as the Magen Avraham, were all geyser from Shemayim. Everything surrounding the Mechira from beginning to end. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu inspired the Shvatim to purchase the shoes in order to point out a different message. So although in their minds, the minds of the Shvatim, the idea was that they thought that they would be able to show and indicate that Yosef was responsible and he was wrong and he was part of the klala, there was a different motive completely. So we know, we've already mentioned that the Magen Avraham says that the whole idea of the Mechira is from beginning to end, there was Hashkocha. And this we see, just one example, is we know by Yimsayu Ish B'nei Soi B'Sadeh, right? We know that on the way Yosef was lost, and he meets this man that comes out of nowhere, and we know it's the Malach Gavriel, right? Rashi says it was the Malach Gavriel, and therefore he's able to point and direct Yosef HaTzadik in the right direction, right? Quote unquote, the right direction, so that he can rejoin his brothers. And that, of course, led to the ensuing Mechira. So who arranged that? The Rabbeinu Shlomo sent Malach Gavriel in order that he should be there as a signpost to ensure that just in case Yosef went off track and went back to his father, and therefore the Mechira didn't happen, Right? He wanted it to happen. The Rebbe Shem made it that all these events should occur. So in other words, from beginning to end, we find, and this is reflected in the Medrash Tanchuma, HaYakosh Baruch Hu Mavakesh Lekayim Gezeres Yodot Teda V'Havi Alila Lekol HaDvorim Elu. The Rebbe Shalom arranged all these events, were orchestrated to fulfill the decree mentioned above, that Yosef should love that Yaakov should love Yosef, that they should have the dreams, that they should be jealous, that they should sell him, they should go in order to that they should end up in Mitzrayim. Now the obvious question is, and if you have a look at source 8, just to see Medrash Tanchuma, Yosef Horod Mitzrayim, Altikri Horod, Ela Horod, Es Aviv, Vashvatim LeMitzrayim. That Yosef caused his brothers and his father to come down to Mitzrayim, and it had to be, apparently, in that way. Now the obvious question is, there is a million different ways, if the Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to, he could have arranged for the Shvatim and for Yaakov Avinu to come down to Mitzrayim. There could have been there was a drought. There could have been all types of things, natural disasters that Rebbeinu Shalom could have arranged in order to get them down. Why did it have to be precisely through this Mechira? Why did it have to be in this particular way in order to achieve that aim? So there's a Medrash, Vayikra Rabbah, which, remarkable Medrash you have in front of you. Sorei Meinu Yardu LeMitzrayim. We know when Sorei Meinu went down to Mitzrayim. V'Gadra Atzma Min HaErva. So she protected herself from Mina Ereva, from the Rayas. V'nigdru kol ha-noshim b'schusa. As a result of that, all the Noshim, all the women, were able to have this protection against the Arayas in the schus of Sorei Meinu. Similarly, Yosef Yorod LeMitzrayim, Yosef went down to Mitzrayim, v'gada atzmoi min ha-Ereva. So Yosef was able to protect himself from the advances of Eshes Potiphar, v'nidru Yisrael b'schusoi. As a result of that, Yisrael in the future were going to be protected and safeguarded from the dangers of the Arayas and of the Erevas Ha'aretz of Mitzrayim, and that was in the schus of Yosef Hatzadik going first, planting the seed to have that schus, to have that merit, to have that protection. Amram Chia Barava, Kadai Hayagoda Erva Ba'atzmoi, Shenigli Yisrael Ayadoi. So it's Kadai for Yosef HaTzadik to be able to go fast and to have this challenge, to have these ordeals, and thereby, by him overcoming them, therefore, it paved the way for the future for Klal Yisrael when they eventually went down, that they would be able to overcome it and to restrain themselves, and that would act as the schus for the Ge'ula. And therefore, what comes out of all of this is that we see that there are two concepts that seem to be running in conjunction with each other at the very same time. Firstly, we see clearly that there is Hashgacha. We see the fulfillment of the Gezerah. We know Yodot Hedo Kigeh Yezorcha Be'eretz Lo Lahem, that Ribbono Shel Olam made it so that there was this Gezerah, so that Klal Yisrael would find themselves going down to Mitzrayim, and therefore eventually they would experience the Golos, and afterwards they would have the Geula. So therefore that was the first thing, all these events, the Mechira was part of. But also the second part as to why it had to be carried out in this particular fashion was Yosef was going down, was overcoming this Nisoyon, it was overcoming this Nisoyon of the Arayas, the immorality, and that was a schus for the redemption, for the eventual redemption. So, why did the Shvatim then have to wear the shoes? We understand so far why Yosef had to be sold, and why Yosef had to be in Mitzrayim and had to go through what he went through. But why did they have to buy shoes and wear these shoes? So that we see there's a Rambam. I'm sharing with you the thoughts of the Shvili Pinchas, beautiful idea. So that he says, he quotes this Ramban, and he says, the whole idea is, v'lachen yasu hanavim maise benuvus, the whole idea of carrying out these actions is in order to pave the way to and facilitate the nisim that eventually were going to materialize. So the idea of us performing any type of acts, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, that we know, for example, that when he threw the matzah to the ground, and then he raised his hand with the matzah, why do you have to do anything? So the Ramban explains that it's necessary for us to perform some type of action, maisa, in this, some type of simon in this world, and that is the trigger, the catalyst for the eventual nes to be released, as it were, into this world. And therefore, by wearing the shoes, the shiftei kol, what were they indicating? They were performing a symbolic, as it were, gesture to pave the way, to show that these shoes that we are wearing, which is the physical barrier between us, we're making a physical barrier between us, safeguarding ourselves, our physical selves, from the Ervasa Oretz, from the Tumah. Therefore, by them starting that off already now, when Yosef was about to carry out, to have the Mechiras Yosef, and to go down to Mitzrayim, therefore, by them triggering it now, it would enable and to facilitate the eventual Nisim and the Geula when it eventually would come about. So, one final thought that relates to this, and that is, there is a remarkable idea as follows, and I think you have a bit of it on the sheet. That Yosef, we've already mentioned his connection to Adam Arishon, and of course we know to Yaakov Avinu, but there is another connection. Ki Yosef, that we find in the Zohar, it says, Ki Yosef Hatzadik Zocha L'Neshoma Zu Shelchanoich. That Yosef apparently had an aspect, or had the Neshoma of Chanoich. There was this resemblance between the two of them. Who was Chanoich? So Chanoich, the Ramah of Chanoich explains, he used to stitch shoes. Chanoch is Matat, who was a Malach, and he used to stitch shoes. And with each stitch, he would have in mind, apparently, says the Ramah of Chanoch, that he was creating, by stitching his shoes, he had in mind that he was creating a separation between the Adam and the Adama, between the person and the ground, as a result of the curse. And therefore, when he was stitching, making his stitches on the shoes, what did he say? He said, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Solilam Voed, because it was only through stitching these shoes, creating this machitza, this separation between himself, between ourselves and the Adama, that's the way that you're able to be Megaleh Kavod Shemaim. And we find Chanoch Nenar Pidarko, that's an allusion, he says, to the idea that Yosef and Chanoch are one and the same. And in fact, we see that it's two sides of the same coin. Both Chanoch and Yosef seem to be performing and carrying out the exact same thing. Yosef, we saw, is this physical separation. He's going there and he's going down to Mitzrayim, carrying out going through tremendous nisyonos and ordeals in order that he should be able to pave the way for Klal Yisrael's eventual Geula. And in addition to that, we see Chanoch is also, through his stitching the shoes, is indicating that the way that we are able to be Megaleh Kavod Shemayim is through separating, having a physical separation between ourselves and the Klolo of the Adama. Back to the question that was asked some time ago, and I had the same question. And that, if we think about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, his first encounter with the Rabbeinu Shalom. And what do we hear? What are you talking about? The first thing you should have been told is make sure you put on shoes. And now we're told take off shoes. The answer, of course, is obvious. What follows after that? Ki Admas Kodeshi. Right? We're told that where Moshe was standing was Admas Kodesh. You only have to remove your shoes if that's a place where there is the klala. If it's not the klala, then you don't need to remove your shoes. And similarly in the Beis HaMikdash, the same idea. So, where there's not the klala, then you don't need shoes. Where there is the klala, then you do need shoes. Okay? So therefore, it fits in very nicely. A final thought in relation, because we just spoke about the Tumah, which is what Chanukah is all about. We find that they came, the Yevonim were all about being Metame, everything that was Kodesh. The Chofetz Chaim says that sometimes we don't appreciate what a person has until it's taken away or threatened to be taken away. The whole aim of the Yevonim, as we know, it says in Al Nishim, was L'Hashkicham Torasecha U'Laviru Mechukei Ratzonecha. What does that mean? L'Hashkicham Torasecha. Right? we know that they were, it was also for them to learn Torah, but before that the Gezeiras were only a reflection of where there was a chisorah, where there was a lack in the Klal Yisrael, in the way we were carrying out our avodah. The Bach in Hilchos Chanukah says that there was a flaw in the avodah that made Klal Yisrael vulnerable to these Gezeiras that were made by Antiochus, and the deficiency was in the avodah. And therefore we have to understand, what is the deficiency in our avodah? We said, Lahashkicham Torah Secha, and then it says, Lahaviram Mechukei Retzoynecha. Lahashkicham Torah Secha. So, we know that the Greeks, the Avonim, were very keen on which aspect? They wanted us to forget, Lahashkicham Torah Secha, to refer to the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's Neshama Klaiso, Neshama Mishnah, same Lashon. So therefore, their concern, they were happy for the Torah even to be written in Greek. That wasn't their issue. They were interested in Chitzonius. The Lashon Yavon, as we know, is from the Lashon of Noi. And if you take the letters of Yavon, it's three symmetrical straight lines. In other words, they're straight lines. There's no middle to it. There's no essence. There's no tachlis to it. It's devoid of any substance. So it's all cosmetic. It looks beautiful on the outside. And that is what they were happy with. As long as you are happy to go through the motions and to live a very superficial life, we're happy. What we're not happy is when you believe there's a panimius. And therefore, the Novi says that the problem with Klal Yisrael was that they kept the Torah tzav letzav kav lekav. Kav lekav, as in lines. Same Lashon. And the idea being is that the chisoron was that we went around, we did a mitzvah here, we did a mitzvah there. There was no holistic, cohesive approach to our avodah. It didn't have the transformative impact that the Torah is meant to have. It was just about going through the motions. And therefore, the idea of La'avivra al-Mechukei Ratzonecha, one leads to the other. If you are performing mitzvahs, and you are learning your Torah, and it's just a matter of going through the motions, but you're not actually, there's no amelus, there's no depth, there's no true connection in your avodah with Ratzon Hashem, you're not achieving through your performance of the mitzvahs the end goal, which is that we should feel a deeper connection, it should have a transformative impact, it should have a shpor on us, then it's going to be devoid of any meaning, any significance, and therefore it will remain just as external actions. And therefore, when it says Lashkicham Terasecha, that led Lahaviram Mechukei Retzoynecha. One leads to the other, says Rav Samson Rafa Hirsch. If your Torah is devoid of any meaning, then Lahaviram Mechukei Retzoynecha. Eventually, you don't perform mitzvahs, or it's just empty, devoid of any meaning, it's just empty gestures. And therefore, instead of making ourselves into a mikdash ma'at and being a mamleches konim v'goy kodosh, there is no receptacle for that kedusha because there is devoid. It's just going through the actions. And therefore, we say at the end, v'achar kein bo v'necha, we were able to enlighten ourselves and to be able to realize the depth within the Torah, the depth within the performance of our mitzvahs. And therefore, we were able to be considered bonim lamokav, achakein bol vanecha. Right? We became, once again, recognized as bonim lamokav. The only way that we do that is through strengthening our connection, our shaykhus, to the Torah, to the avodah. Be'ezras Hashem, in this way, we'll be zoicha to binyan beis hamikdash, and we'll be zoicha to the geula shleima b'karav mamash. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.